This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ma ba'd. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I hope and pray that everyone is doing well by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we begin by praising Allah azza wa jal, the Lord of the universe, our creator, our sustainer, our protector, our nourisher, and by sending peace and salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we once again have a hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us the opportunity to witness another Ramadan, right? We are once again now in that mode where the month of Rajab is coming to an end, the month of Sha'aban in sight, and inshallah, right after that, the month of Ramadan. So almost, you know, just about 5 or so weeks away, inshallah, or just over that. Ramadan, inshallah, is expected to begin on April 13th. Allah knows best as to what the situation is going to be. As you know, the situation seems to have improved, but there are some concerning indicators coming out, according to public health officials, regarding a third wave, even as the vaccinations pick up. So Allah knows best as to what the future has in store, but inshallah, our hope, our aim is to safely accommodate as many people as possible for salawat in Ramadan, especially for Isha and Taraweeh prayers, inshallah, especially our sisters and our children, right? Because we know they have not been able to come or have not been, children have not been able to come. Many mothers and many sisters generally have been staying away so that the brothers are able to offer especially the Friday prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. But we want to try, inshallah, in Ramadan, because it's going to be more than one year. So we especially want to try to accommodate as many families as possible, inshallah, so that you can come with your family to offer Salatul Isha and Salatul Taraweeh, inshallah. Of course, while respecting public health guidelines, right? So whatever the rules are at that time, we're basing it on what we have right now, meaning what the guidelines are right now. But we are working on developing an easy process for registration, because we know that having to register every day would maybe not be very practical, it would be annoying, would be difficult. So we're trying to come up with something that that fulfills the guidelines and the need, but also that is easy as well, inshallah. So please stay tuned, and we will be posting updates on our website at kananamuslims.ca/Ramadan as things progress, inshallah. Also, if you have any suggestions or feedback regarding how we can make things work in Ramadan to accommodate as many people as possible while respecting the guidelines, any suggestions or feedback, please do email us at info@kananamuslims.ca. We really appreciate and thank you for your continued patience and cooperation and understanding, because we know it is not easy. Now, my brothers and sisters, just as we are, you know, planning the logistics, this is also the time to start planning mentally and spiritually as well, right? And we go through this every year because we don't want to be those people. We don't want to be, you know, someone who wakes up and realizes, oh, this morning is Ramadan, you know, or tonight Ramadan has started, or oh, it's just about to start. I haven't really done anything. I've been busy. I've been, you know, occupied with other things, and all of a sudden, you know, you go into a cold turkey. You know, we know, because Ramadan being such a special time, we want to try to prepare as much as possible. And the different, you know, different examples have been given by our pious predecessors, by our Salaf. So for example, Ibn Rajab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he quotes Imam Abu Bakr al-Warraq, rahmatullahi alayhi, who said that in the month of Rajab, you sow the seeds, in Sha'ban, you irrigate them, and in Ramadan, you reap the harvest. Meaning to say that, you know, if you want to reap the harvest in Ramadan, if you want to have a fruitful Ramadan, then you need to start planning in Rajab, right? The month which is now ending shortly. So this is the time to sow the seeds And I was mentioned because one time someone got confused and thought I was actually talking about gardening outside. So, you plant the seeds of your good deeds, right? Of your mindset regarding Ramadan, right? And what you want to do in Ramadan. So you sow those seeds in Sha'ban, you irrigate them, meaning, you know, you start working on developing them. And then in Ramadan, you get to reap the harvest. Others have given the example of a tree. So the leaves appear in the month of Rajab, and they bear fruit in the month of Sha'ban, and people take their fruits in the month of Ramadan, right? So different examples have been given by our pious predecessors. So a person must prepare for the righteous deeds in Rajab and pledge to do them with adornment and perfection in Sha'ban. And this is also something that has been written. So a person must prepare for the righteous deeds in Rajab, pledge to do them with how? Adornment and perfection in Sha'ban, so that he can or she can perform them in the fullest way in Ramadan. Because it takes time to develop. It takes time to get into good habits. It takes time to, you know, build ourselves up after, you know, this 9-10 months of action and of, you know, being busy and in some cases ghafla as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and forgive us. So when we think about improving our worship, my brothers and sisters, and indeed when we think about improving our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sometimes people come and they say, okay, well, where do I start? Where do I start if I want to improve my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, I understand, okay, my spirituality is lacking. You know, I have made mistakes. I'm closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where should I start? So when we think about improving our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural place to start is with our salah. Right? Now, when we think of salah, so let's think about salah for a little bit here, okay? So when we think of salat, when we think of prayers, for many of us, let's be honest, it's a job. It is a job, something that we should be doing, or, you know, that we do because it is a must, right? Or perhaps we're not even doing it. We think, okay, yes, it's something I know that I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. Or we do it because it is a must. It's an obligation, it's a faridah, and therefore I have to do it. Maybe we see it as a need. So we say, yes, it's an obligation and there are many benefits, so yes, I need it. But the reality is, my brothers and sisters, is that very few actually want to do it. Very few actually want to do it. So what I would suggest, my brothers and sisters, is that what we try to do, especially as we prepare for Ramadan, right? When we talk about how to prepare for Ramadan, we try to change our mindset about salah. We try to change our mindset about salah, right? Because the way we see things and the way we approach things, they impact how we actually do them, okay? So instead of seeing salah as something that must be done or something that we need, because of course of all the amazing benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in it for us, we actually want to be people who like to or who want to offer salah. You see the difference between that mindset, right? Because if you must do something, you have to do this, you must do it, then it's a job, it's a burden. Okay, I have to do it, I have no choice. Okay, I'd rather be doing other things, but it's something I got to do. Okay, if you need to do something, then you say, okay, yes, it's a necessity, I need to do it, but you know, you're not necessarily looking forward to it. But if you want to do it, then you're desiring it and you are prioritizing it and you are valuing it, right? So you see, the mindset makes a difference in how we feel about the actions that we do. So let us reflect upon salah. So firstly, how it became obligatory, 5 times a day, okay? In Sahih Muslim, it has been recorded that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on the Isra journey, Isra wal Mi'raj, right? So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on the Isra journey, he ascended to the Sidratul Muntaha in the sixth heaven, right? Where everything that ascends from the earth, such as one's deeds and so on, terminates and is held. And it is there where everything that descends from above, such as, you know, certain rulings or divine instructions, wahi, etc., terminates and is held until further instructions are given. Okay, so this is that spot, that place. So there the Prophet ﷺ was given three things in that night journey of Al-Isra. The five daily prayers, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, and forgiveness for whoever did not do shirk, whoever did not associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his ummah, meaning from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So three things which were gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or which were given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this very special miraculous journey, in which of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa sallam and saw many things or was shown many things, and where he was able to access this very special place in the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one else was given permission to do. So he was given these three things during this very special journey, right? So the five daily prayers being the first of them, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, and forgiveness for anyone in his ummah who did not do shirk, did not associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them who are forgiven. Amin ya rabbal alameen. So subhanAllah, my brothers and sisters, the salah is such a special gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam close and gave it for his ummah. Right, the Quran, right, except for the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, all other obligations were sent down upon this earth. But the salah was gifted on a miraculous journey up above in the heavens. So you imagine how special it must be in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Out of all the obligations, out of all the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of all the words of Allah azza wa jal, right? This command and those two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the last two verses, right? Those were gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gifted to this ummah on that very, very special journey. Now, salah may become burdensome, but that feeling is one that we want to avoid. You might start seeing salah as a burden, but we want to avoid that feeling, for it is not meant to be difficult for us. And I was reflecting that for fasting, because we're talking about Ramadan, right? So for fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses which word for the prescription? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alayhi. Kutiba is mentioned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word kutiba, that it has been written for you, it has been prescribed. And when we look through the Quran, there's only a few instances where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used kutiba alaykum as a means of making something obligatory for his servants. And what we see is that it's used only a few times for seemingly challenging or not very pleasant things. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used kutiba alaykum in the Quran, it is used for seemingly challenging or not very pleasant things. So for example, qisas. Okay, retribution for crimes, or for qital, for battle when required, or regarding wasiya, leaving a will at the time of death. Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-mawt in taraka khayran al-wasiya. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used it in these few instances and for siyam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum al-siyam kama kutiba alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. So these are serious, challenging things, involving difficulty, which are rare, they are occasional. They are not something which are very common, very regular. Almost like a medical prescription. Almost like, I like the translation of prescription, right? Even though in Arabic that's not the word for prescription, but it's when we translate a prescription, because a prescription is given occasionally for a particular purpose. You have a particular ailment, you have a particular sickness, there's an issue, there's an infection, then you receive the medication, right? And a prescription oftentimes, may be challenging to take. It's not something which, you enjoy taking, your medication, right? Especially when we were children. I still have horror, memories of having to take Tempra, other medication which tasted really bad, right? Because you can't swallow pills, right? So these are, prescription is, when we think about medical prescription, it's for a particular purpose, it's not regular, and it may be challenging to take. But no such thing for salah, subhanAllah. For salah, we don't find anything like that, right? Aqimu salah, right? Stand, establish salah. So this is the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say is let us change our perspective regarding salah. Instead of seeing it as a job, as a burden, we see it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we want to be careful, my brothers and sisters, of the feeling of salah as a burden. it may happen to us. We may feel it. But it is something that we should be cautious about. We need to be careful about that. If we start feeling that the salah, or the prayers that we need to offer are a burden for us, then that is a warning sign for us. Our alarm should go off. You know, that's a red flag for us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, and seek help through patience and prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Indeed, it is a burden except for the khashi'een, except for the humble. And then further description of those khashi'een, of those khashi'oon, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. For the humble, those who are certain that they will meet their Lord, and to Him that they will return. To Him they will return. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's going to be a burden. You're going to see it as something heavy, something big, like big in a negative sense, the kabira, right? Like they won't see it as something big as positive, but rather big as negative, except for the humble, right? It is a burden except for the humble, who are certain that they will meet their Lord, and that they will, and to Him is their return. So indeed, for the believers, seeing salah as a gift, a means of connecting with the Lord, is humbling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe, has given us this means, this great means, this great gift to connect with Him regularly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to connect with Him. So this is humbling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to connect with Him. Right? The Lord of the universe, our creator, our designer, who's designed and created and is sustaining everything, He is the one who wants me to connect with Him. So for the believers, this is humbling. And subhanAllah, initially being 50, right, and being reduced to 5 per day, right, perhaps to show how important it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees salah as valuable and wants us to connect with Him, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to connect with Him 50 times a day. How many times? 50 times a day, right? But of course, there was a discussion between Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he kept going back. No, they're not going to be able to do it. No, they're not going to be able to do it. It's going to be difficult for them. It's going to be difficult for them. Speaking from experience, it's going to be difficult for them. So comes down to 5. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, wanted us to connect with Him 50 times a day. But of course, the 5 are now equal to 50. We also need to be careful, my brothers and sisters, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about salah in the Quran in negative ways as well. What do I mean by negative ways? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about what approach we don't want to have towards salah. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى, talking about the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And when they stand up for salah, they stand with laziness. قَامُوا كُسَالَى, they stand with laziness. Oh, I have to go pray salah. Okay, it's such heavy burden. Oh, push myself to offer salah. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, and to be seen of people, and they do not remember Allah but little. So the stand with laziness is difficult, only to show people, and وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And this is actually very scary when I think about it, when I reflect upon this verse, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, Surah Ta'ala, talking to Musa alayhi salam. So establish salah for my remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, the munafiqun wa la yadhkuruna Allaha illa qalila. They do not remember Allah but little. So each one of us, me, myself, I evaluate my salah and ask myself, how much am I actually remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my salah? If I'm not, if it's only a little bit, I'm distracted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the munafiqun wa la yadhkuruna Allaha illa qalila. That's from the traits of the munafiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, forgive us, and may He grant us khushu' in our salah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. What may also come as a shock to some, my brothers and sisters, especially those who read verses, ayat, out of context, is that in Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, woe be to those who pray. Literally, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, woe be upon those who pray. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be saying, woe be upon those who pray? They're actually praying. But then we learn the details in the next verse. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, yet they are unmindful and neglectful of their prayers. They are praying. They're musallin. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So they are not those who are not praying. They are actually praying. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Yet they are unmindful or neglectful of their prayers. This is the trait of those who are offering salah. Not even talking about those who are not offering salah. Okay. So again, this is a warning for us as well, that we don't want to be those who offer salah in a state of unmindfulness or neglectfulness, or in a manner of unmindfulness and neglectfulness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us. Now, my brothers and sisters, when one of us is given a special gift by an authority, not valuing the gift, disregarding it, is actually a form of disrespect of the authority. Right? If someone who you're supposed to respect, you know, could be someone who you love, it could be someone that, you know, is an authority that you're supposed to respect. If they give you a gift and you don't value that gift, you don't care about that gift, you're careless about that gift, then that's a form of disrespect and a form of an expression of a lack of loyalty towards that authority. So the way we think about and approach our salah is indicative of the state of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we, forget about even offering, the way we think and approach our salah is indicative of the state of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. That the first matter that the slave, that the servant will be brought to account for on the day of judgment is the prayer. فَإِن صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ لَهُ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ. If the prayer is sound, then the rest of his deeds will also be sound. Why? Because it's indicative of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And if it is bad, then the rest of his deeds will also be bad. Right? So that's what I said. We want to start. We're talking about preparing for Ramadan. We're talking about improving our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us start with salah, because that is what matters most. That is what is indicative of whatever else is to follow. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, similar opening of the hadith, that inna awwalu ma yuhasabu bihi al-'abdu yawm al-qiyamati min 'amalihi salatuh. And then a little bit different now, the first narration was in Tabrani, a sahih narration, this is in Tirmidhi and others, that if they are in order, fa in salahat, if they are in order, فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. If they are in order, then he will have prospered and succeeded. If his prayer is in order, if her prayer is in order, they will have prospered and succeeded. However, وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. If they are lacking, then he will have failed and lost. May Allah protect us. If there is something, now we learn another principle here, that if there is something that is defective in his obligatory prayers, فَإِنْ انْتَقَصَ مِنْ فَرِيضَتِهِ شَيْءٍ قَالَ الرَّبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Lord the Exalted will say, see if my servant has any voluntary prayers which can complete what is lacking in the obligatory prayers. هَلْ لِعَبْدِي مِنْ تَطَوَّعٍ فَيُكَمَّلَ بِهَا مَنْ تَقَصَ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Then the rest of the action, the Prophet ﷺ said that the rest of the actions will be judged in the same way as well. Meaning the same principle will apply, that the obligatory actions will be looked at first. If they are lacking, then it will be said, check to see if there are any voluntary extra actions of that category, right? So salah, extra salah, sawm, extra sawm, sadaqah, extra sadaqah, zakat, right? So and so forth. And it will be judged in the same way. Okay, what we learn is the first will be salah, and if, you know, it is lacking, the Prophet ﷺ said, the person will have failed and lost. So we learn, my brothers and sisters, the importance of the quality and the quantity of salah. Now, oftentimes people say, no, quality versus quantity. No, it should be quantity versus quality. You know, there's a whole discussion, right? So here we learn of the importance of the quality and the quantity of salah. So focus on the quality, but quantity is also valuable. Quantity is also valuable, because if a person is only focusing on their form, and let's say something is lacking, right? We're all human beings. Then if they don't have anything extra, then they may not be able to, you know, to make up for it, right? So quality, yes, very important, but quantity is also valuable. So as we prepare for Ramadan, my brothers and sisters, let's start with our salah. So number one, to recap, mindset, right? To look at it as a gift, not as a burden, right? Not just something that has many benefits, but something that is actually linked to our eternal success. So we want to do it properly. We want to offer it. We want to be at the forefront, and we want to do it properly. Number two, the time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, that indeed performing prayers is a duty on the believers at the appointed times. Right? At the appointed times. So don't delay unnecessarily to the end time. Right? If you have something and you can't do it earlier, that's different. But unnecessarily when you do have the time. Delaying it till the end time, because what does it say about your feelings about salah? If you're constantly running late, what does it say about your approach to salah? What does it say about your mindset regarding salah? Right? So be careful about the time. And the time is about to change, by the way, next week, right? March 14th. Time's going to change. The prayer times are also going to change. Right? So it's important that we keep that in mind and look at it and plan our days accordingly so that we can try to offer our prayers at the right time as much as possible. Thirdly, the quality. Right? So offering our salah properly as taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as understood by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as explained by our early scholars, right? So understanding the juristic, you know, teachings, the fiqh of it, right? And trying to do it properly. Trying to offer in jama'ah in the masjid when possible, especially for the brothers. If not in the masjid, then try to do jama'ah at home or at work or wherever you are, right? So that aspect of it has to do with quality. Building concentration and devotion, right? Khushu' and salah, of course. So there's the fiqh aspect of it in doing, following all the rules properly, but also the state of the salah, right? How we feel during the salah. And one way to do it is to explore the wisdoms and the secrets. Explore the wisdoms and the secrets of salah and reflect on the meanings of the du'as that we recite, the verses of the Quran, right? And this is why it's important, as I think I mentioned once before, like, you know, if you're flying through our salah, we're just reciting, yeah, like, okay, maybe we're offering it, alhamdulillah, but that's not how it should be, right? So for that, we want to be able to connect with the Quran that we're reciting. If that means learning more surahs, if that means reading the tafsir of the ones that we know, reading, understanding Arabic, whatever it is, but we want to work on developing, deepening our connection with whatever we do in our salah. And of course, that feeling of humility, because that's what it's for. Right? It's for building that humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that all of this has to do with the quality. And finally, my brothers and sisters, the quantity of our salah as well, increasing our voluntary prayers while trying to maintain quality. You know, so the balance between quality and quantity. So yes, maintaining quality, but also trying to increase the quantity, especially at night or early morning. Especially at night and early morning. And this is preparation for Ramadan. And one of the things that you can try to do is try to add a little bit extra, even if it's just after Salatul Isha. Maybe you're not able to wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe you're not able to wake up before Fajr. Okay, then even after Isha, add 2 rak'ahs. Add 4 rak'ahs. Just add something. You know, and see, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you istiqamah. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intentions. Perhaps He will count it as tahajjud, inshallah. You will get the reward for it. And that will be a launch pad, right, to build up, inshallah. Especially as Ramadan comes up, and you know, if you're offering Taraweeh in Ramadan, try to continue a little bit after Ramadan as well. I mean, it won't be Taraweeh, right? Because Taraweeh is for Ramadan. But Qiyamul Layl, whatever, you know, nafil extra prayers, try to continue some after Ramadan as well. So that you stay in that habit, and slowly you can add more, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, and whoever is mindful of Allah, He will make a way out for them. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, and provide for them from sources that they could never imagine. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, and whoever puts their trust in Allah, then He alone is sufficient for them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ, certainly Allah achieves His will. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا, Allah has already set a destiny for everything. Let us make dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kulluhu ala niyatuhu wa sirruhu. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا والله please forgive us for all of our minor and major sins يا رب العالمين والله please enable us to perfect our salah يا رب العالمين Oh Allah, please change our perspectives regarding our Salah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please guide us to value our Salah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please guide us to offer Salah. Oh Allah, guide us to offer and establish Salah the way you want us to do it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please forgive us for all of our shortcomings in our prayers, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, all the times that we have been late. Oh Allah, all the times that we have missed our prayers. Oh Allah, all the times that we did not wake up for Fajr. Oh Allah, all of the times that we had been distracted. Oh Allah, all of the times when we were making mistakes. Oh Allah, we don't want to be among those who show up on the Day of Judgment and the Salah is evaluated and they find out that the Salah was lacking, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please forgive us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please forgive us regarding our shortcomings in our prayers, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please make us those who are firm in their prayers, who have khushu' in their prayers. Oh Allah, regarding those that you have said, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Oh Allah, please make us from amongst those believers, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant us a good return to you in a state of salah. Oh Allah, in a state of sujood. Oh Allah, in a state of submission to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please purify our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, with the light of iman and the strand of taqwa, with love for you and your book and your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please purify our hearts, our minds of all evil thoughts and all distractions, anything that takes us away from you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please make our minds, our bodies, our souls true believers in every way, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please envelop us all in your unseen protection, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please cure all of our brothers and sisters who are ill, who are facing hardships and struggles with regards to their health and their bodies, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, our brothers and sisters in long-term living with long-term pain, our elder sister in pain and weakness. Oh Allah, our elders dealing with cancer and other illnesses. Oh Allah, all of our relatives and friends dealing with COVID-19. Oh Allah, anyone who is ill, oh Allah, please grant them a speedy and complete recovery, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, you are the curer. Oh Allah, you are the healer. Oh Allah, nobody else can heal. Oh Allah, no medication, no vaccination. Oh Allah, nothing can work except with your permission. Oh Allah, please grant protection and cure to all of us, all of them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant relief to all of those who are experiencing distress, anxiety, and grief, depression, or any other types of suffering. Replace it with happiness and ease, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please remove trials and hardships from the lives of our brothers and sisters all around the world, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, at this moment, they're going through unimaginable hardships. Oh Allah, you know their situation. Oh Allah, you know what they're feeling and what they're experiencing. Oh Allah, out of your infinite mercy, oh Allah, please remove their hardships and grant them ease, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, so many of our households facing family problems, issues between spouses, parents, and children. Oh Allah, so many other disagreements and challenges. Oh Allah, please remove all of these disagreements and grant love and unity in all of our homes and families, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma anta rabbuna la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtana wa nahnu abiduk, wa nahnu ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'na, na'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'na, نبوء لك بنعمتك علينا ونبوء بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقنا من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسل خطايانا بالماء والثلج والبرد. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كله دقه وجله وأوله وآخره وعلانيته وسره. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم أسبغ علينا لباس الصحة والعافية واجعلها عونا لنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغرنا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين ووحد صفوفهم واصلح قادتهم واجمع كلمتهم للحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. جزاكم الله خير. My brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you all. Those who are registered, please come at your allotted times. Those who are at home, please offer your Dhuhr prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the reward for Friday prayer. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.